Electrification time. It is the Sensible Heating and Cooling Podcast. Corey Lopez, Phil Jensen here.
Hello.
So, I know you get questions like this when people come out and people are starting to think about, well, people are probably thinking in the heat of the summer, man, I hope my air conditioning's working. So, hopefully you've done most of your maintenance, but Sensible Heating and Cooling always available to help out with stuff like that. Those are pretty basic things. But what happens when somebody starts thinking, you know what? I spend an awful lot of money when the winter rolls around on heat. I spend an awful lot of money running my air conditioner all the time. There's all these rebates out here, and we have a whole list of them on the website. The very first question is, okay, you're trying to get toward electrification. You're trying to be a little more sustainable, more high energy, high efficiency, alternative modes for heating and cooling. And then a guy comes knocking on my door and says, hey, we can put solar in. We can put these solar panels on your house, and in the end, you can save all of this money. But you're thinking about getting geothermal. What's best? What do we do first?
Right.
Solar, geothermal, all together. What do you guys recommend?
So we get that question pretty often.
Not bad.
And so when I do, I really just start asking questions about what people's priorities are. And it used to, you know, used to be that the answer was pretty cut and dried. And there's a reason for that. And the reason, and what I would tell people back then was to do the geothermal first or the heat pump first. And the reason for that was because it used to be that XL would only allow you to put on enough panels to cover 125% of the current load of the house. So in other words, they would look at your utility bills going backwards for a year or two. Mm-hmm. And then whatever that load was, they'd say, okay, well, you're limited to putting on solar panels up to 125% of what you've used for the last 2 years. So we would say, well, if you put in a heat pump or geothermal, then your electric usage will go up. Then you put in 125% based on heating with electricity. So then that'll give you enough room to be able to, you know, put in power for your electric vehicle or whatever else, you know, electrical things you want to do. But what happened a couple of years ago is that a law was passed and Xcel was required to allow people to put up to 200%. So even if you have, you know, fairly minimal electrical usage. Now, if you put in panels up to 200%, that's usually going to cover most of your needs.
Mm.
So now it's a little bit more of a gray area as to which is better to do first. And so I just talk it through with people. And, you know, sometimes they're more concerned about, you know, being able to do a lot of different things with it. And so, you know, so I say, okay, well, you know, what seems to be the best path for you? And so I go through a series of questions to find out, you know, what their future plans are, you know, how long they're going to live in the house, those kinds of things. And sometimes it lands on putting in a heat pump first. Sometimes it lands on putting solar first. But either way, you know, as long as the push is being made to be able to electrify, I think that's a good thing. You know, I guess in my opinion, you know, which is biased, of course, that if you put in the geothermal first or you put in a heat pump first, then you're going to enjoy the benefits of using something that's more more energy efficient. You're probably going to, even though it's more energy efficient, it's probably going to cost a little more to operate until you get the solar, but then you can get a pretty good fix on what your electrical requirements are going to be. And so maybe instead of just oversizing your solar system, you can size it appropriately to your actual usage. So maybe you won't spend as much on the solar in the future.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that, well, that's why we're called Sensible.
Yeah, one of the reasons. rebates out there. You talked about for solar and some of the changes. Man, when it comes to geothermal, there are some good rebates out there. And depending on where you live, there's some pretty good rebates. But they're not going to be there forever.
Right. Yeah, and it's very confusing right now. So as we speak, there are rebates available from Xcel Energy. There's rebates available from the city of Denver. There's some federal tax credits and rebates. And so it's taken a lot of time. This legislation that came out last year, the Inflation Reduction Act, allowed for a lot of different ways of getting money back from a lot of different jurisdictions. And, you know, it's kind of amazing because a lot of these big players are just throwing money at this, and with good reason. You know, it's time to get people motivated to do this. And so, you know, so we've been spending a lot of time trying to make sure that we've got accurate information. So what we did was we put a special page on our website specifically to address the tax credits and rebates, because there's so many between, you know, we did a calculation for one of our clients the other day, and between all the Xcel rebates, the Denver rebates, and, you know, not even counting the federal rebates, he was able to get $5,800 back from the city of Denver and from Xcel, which is, you know, that goes a long ways towards covering the cost of these systems.
Right.
These systems are not cheap. They're, you know, they're pretty pricey, but there's reasons for that. The equipment is, if you go high-end, these prices are pretty expensive, and but you're getting a lot more for your money for a system that's going to last, you know, hopefully at least 15 years, if not longer, and especially if they're maintained correctly. But so, you know, so I ask people to look at it from a long-term perspective, because, you know, it's not only just investing in the equipment that's going to heat and cool the home, keep the air clean and so forth. It's also investing in future generations. And so that's, you know, something that, you know, 10 years from now, it's going to be, you know, gas is going to be a whole different, it's going to be looked at a whole different way than it is today. And yes, 20 years from now, I tell the young people working in our business that, you know, 20 years from now, people will not be using natural gas to heat. That's just the way, direction it's going.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going to be talking to people, you know, that are younger than them at that point. 20 years from now, they'll be in the industry and they'll be talking about the days when they were working on natural gas, and and, you know, those technicians, those young technicians will be looking at them and saying, looking at them the same way that they look at me when I talk about working on air conditioners that use the old refrigerant and venting refrigerant into the atmosphere.
Right.
That was, you know, these days, if we did something like that, we'd be arrested and thrown in jail, you know, but 20 years ago, that was, you know, that was when all that awareness was starting to come into play. So, you know, when people are looking at electrification, right now it seems very new and very different. You know, we've been working and installing and designing these systems for 10 years now. A lot of other contractors are new into the heat pump market, and so we're really, you know, at this point we're pretty experienced, and there's, you know, there's some definite differences. There's some things that we have to pay attention to that are not as important when you're putting in just a gas furnace and an air conditioner with a heat pump. They're a little bit more finicky. They require, you know, some more thoughtful and careful technicians to be able to really work on them. And, you know, so those kinds of things are very important.
And that's what Sensible has.
Exactly.
Have technicians, you keep them up to date on things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And once you install them, you know how to service them.
Right, yeah. And it requires constant training. The technology, you know, it's like everything else. The technology is getting more sophisticated, but the training is too. I was at a Bryant convention last fall, and I actually put on my VR goggles and was learning how to repair an air conditioner using VR technology.
That's amazing.
So that was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that.
The frequently asked questions, and if you want to know more about this, we've got blogs out on the sensibleheat.net website and on our blogs, the frequently asked questions for geothermal, air source heat pumps. Yes, you can service all of these things. You're one of the few companies that actually can service geothermal. You know how to put it in, but you also know how to service. There's a certain thoughtfulness that has to go into that, and you have that kind of experience. We talked about the heat, air source heat pumps that you also are able to service. But I'll bet you get some interesting questions when people come up and say, hey, I want more. I'm thinking about sustainability. I'm thinking about electrification. I'm thinking, I want to do better for my family. But then you get some interesting questions about geothermal. Like, so what's this going to look like? How long is this going to take?
Right.
And I know the questions can vary a little bit, but how long does it take when somebody says from the word go, they sign the papers, they say, let's do this thing. How long can it take to go in and put in a full geothermal system?
Right. That's a good question. So it's kind of like the new Nebraska slogan, right? Nebraska's not for everybody.
It's not. I'm telling you, as a native Nebraskan, it's not for everybody.
So in that sense, geothermal is not for everybody either. There's no question it's currently the most efficient HVAC technology available for heating and cooling, and but there is a process to put it in, and first part of the process is really understanding what the customer is trying to accomplish, and then to design a system around that, and so that takes a little bit of effort on everybody's part to come together and make sure that we're putting in the right system for the home. Then once they decide that they do want to go ahead with it, then we have to coordinate a lot of different pieces that usually involve the drilling, which is what happens in the yard of the house or the land around the house. There's the electrical. There's generally going to be some kind of an electrical upgrade for the heat pump, whether it be a geothermal system or an air source system. We have to talk about the actual installation. So different jobs take different avenues. So we're close to finishing up one job where we actually had the electrical work done first to get ready for the heat pump. And then next step was we ordered the heat pump and put it in. And it took about 6 weeks to get the equipment from the time of the order. So then our guys went ahead and put the heat pump in. But it didn't have anything to tie into. We didn't have the drilling done yet. And the drilling is scheduled to be done in a week or so. So from beginning to end of the project, probably is about 4 months. But the actual work itself, was done in little pieces. So the electrical work took a couple of days. The installation of the equipment with some duct changes took about 2 to 3 days. And the drilling will probably take 2 to 3 days. So the actual on-site work, did not take that long, but it was just, pulling all those different pieces together that took a while to do.
And you can piece it together, like you said, so it's not this total disruption.
Exactly, yeah. So, probably the most disruptive part of it is the drilling. And so, I always try to advise people that if they have a beautifully manicured landscaped area, then I really, try to emphasize that, they're going to have to redo all that. And, a lot of people have, land out in the country that everything's just going to grow back anyway. And then we also do a lot of jobs where, the people are not so proud of their lawns or their landscape that they, you know, they're kind of at a point where they want to redo it anyway. And one of our people that works for us, Amanda, when she had her geothermal system put in, she decided to go with a type of grass in the backyard where the wells were put in that used about a quarter of the water that her old lawn did.
Oh,
so
wow.
She was really, you know, aware of the sustainability aspect of it. But what the cool thing is that once it's all done and everything's back together, there's no outdoor unit. You know, it's like, you know, it's just yard, and there's no noise from an air conditioner or a heat pump. You know, everything is underground, so you don't see it and you don't hear it.
Yeah, that's another added bonus where not only are you you're saving money.
Right.
And you're thinking sustainability.
Right. Yeah, and the underground portion of it, the pipe we use is called a high-density polyethylene, an HDPE. And the pipe itself has a 50-year warranty on it. It has a lifespan of probably, you know, maybe twice that. So in the future, you know, when you go to replace that heat pump, you know, 15, 20 years from now, or hopefully longer, you don't have to replace that whole underground portion. It's already there. So you just reuse that existing infrastructure. We are actually doing a job like that. One of the houses that got burned down in the Marshall Fire, they had a geothermal system. We did have to dig outside the foundation to find a place where we could connect to it that hadn't been affected by the fire. But aside from that, the rest of the loop was there, so we just, you know, designed a system interior for the house, and that's being put in here pretty soon.
Nice. Wow, that's great. Sometimes people can't go full bore geothermal. Not yet, anyway.
Right.
There's other alternatives. Air source heat pumps work pretty well and are becoming more popular here in Colorado.
Right. Yeah, and those have a wide range of efficiency levels. An air source heat pump, you know, is not going to be as efficient as geothermal, because the principle of a heat pump is it's going to pull heat from either the air, in the case of an air source heat pump, or the ground. If it's a geothermal, the ground temperature stays more consistent, obviously, than the air temperature does. So with an air source heat pump, you're going to be subjected to bigger temperature swings, and so they're not going to be as efficient. But it is more affordable, and it's a lot less disruptive. So that's the path that I think probably 80% of, you know, maybe 80% of our customers are going in.
And there's a lot of disinformation. Misinformation. I shouldn't say dis, but misinformation about air source heat pumps out there. You guys have a whole section devoted to air source heat pumps on your website where people can go at sensibleheat.net and find out. But and the techs, all you guys, can speak on your expertise on air source heat pumps and give the truth.
Yeah, it's kind of funny to me in a way, sort of a, not maybe funny ha-ha, but just funny weird, that a year ago, you know, there was a lot of contractors that were, you know, just really disrespecting heat pumps in general, saying that they don't work in Colorado, which is weird to me because we've been doing it for 10 years and have had little or no complaints about them operating. And there's things about how, you know, they won't heat below a certain temperature, which is true, but there are ways to, you know, you put in auxiliary heat and they'll heat just fine. And, you know, there's even misinformation about whether or not you need auxiliary heat. And some people are claiming that you don't because the heat pumps will operate down to 13 below. But what I want to know is what happens when it gets down below 13 below. You know, you still need heat and it's going to be really cold and your HVAC guy is going to be busy. So,
yes.
So just make sure you put in auxiliary heat no matter what. And, yeah, so there's there's a lot of things that people are saying that I think come out of either ignorance or maybe just, you know, the desire to sell something that maybe isn't appropriate for a particular application. You know, we've gone through an awful lot of learning curve in the past 10 years, you know, just getting under, you know, better understanding of what we can do and what, you know, we shouldn't do. And I mean, it's, you know, it's valuable experience at this point.
Absolutely. Are there rebates on air source heat pumps?
Yeah, actually some really good ones. That heat pump that I just mentioned that we got the $5,800 for, that was for a heat pump system that was a very high-end modulating system. And so, you know, geothermal tax credits are much better. You can get a full 30% tax credit from the federal government on geothermal, but that's not available for air source heat pumps. But the federal government does have an income-based tax credit / rebate for, I think, up to $2,000. And that would be in addition to that $5,800 that I mentioned. But that's not going to apply in every case. So that's why we have to guide people through that process, because every system is different. Every, you know, some of these are income-based, so household income plays a factor in it. So some people might get no rebates depending on the system that they put in, and some other people might get, you know, a huge amount of money back.
But it sounds like...
it's kind of the Wild West right now.
Well, I was going to say, that's a great way to describe it right there. People are shelling out opportunities for you to get some money back and be able to move towards sustainability.
Yeah, efficiency plays a lot into it. There's more rebate money for what's called cold climate heat pumps. But to get to a cold climate heat pump, normally you have to spend more money. Mitsubishi has systems that qualify for cold climate heat pumps, but, you know, which tend to have been popular among, you know, people that are newer to selling heat pumps. But you know, you have to be really careful about, you know, which system is being selected, because, you know, if you don't read the fine print and all the numbers and the specifications, then you might be expecting a big rebate and not get it, and a lot of people are going to be disappointed by that.
Yeah. And you can walk people through a lot of that with the expertise that you guys have.
Yep.
And there's information on the website as well at sensibleheat.net. All right, we got a lot done here in July. Last thing, I know it's July, I know it's the heat and everything that's going on. Not a bad time to start thinking about maybe servicing your traditional furnace. It might be out there. It's always a good idea to have a plan, an annual service plan on everything that you have. But it's funny to me to say, when the temperatures are pushing to the 90s and the 100s here with some of the heat waves we've had in July, but you start thinking about winter.
Yeah, no, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, putting in a heat pump system, most people are, you know, that are planners are going to be, you know, thinking ahead about to winter. And, you know, it's not like putting in a furnace, because, you know, and I think what people are used to out of us is, hey, my furnace is broken, it's 20 years old, I want to put a new one in, can you do it next week? And, you know, normally we're like, yeah, sure, we can do that. But with a heat pump system, and, you know, especially if it's geothermal, you know, with geothermal, I would encourage people to plan, you know, 3 or 4, 5, 6 months in advance. With an air source heat pump, you know, please, you know, call us when it's, you know, if you're thinking about it, you know, plan on your process taking 2 or 3 months to make your decision. You know, we're not high pressure. That's not how we do our, you know, that's not how we run our business. But we want people to have the right information. We want people to make a good decision for them. And, you know, that takes time, because there's a lot of information. And like you said, there's a lot of misinformation. So when people do their shopping, they're going to hear a lot of different things. They're going to be confused by it. They're going to want to check facts, those kinds of things. So the people that plan ahead are usually much happier with the results.
Absolutely. Good stuff. We'll talk to everybody again in August. And any questions that you may have, questions, comments, you can put it here. You can hear us certainly listening online at thesensibleheat.net. We're also on Spotify, so you can find our podcast there. And you can find out a lot of the stuff that we talk about in a lot of the blogs that we have, and that information when it comes to rebates, tax credits, and things like that. That's all on the website at sensibleheat.net. Good stuff. Hope you're having a good summer, everyone. And we'll talk to you again soon. This has been your electrification podcast from Sensible Heating and Cooling. SensibleHeat.net. For Phil Jensen, I'm Corey Lopez. We'll talk to you again real soon.